Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. Today on our show, we're talking about service and justice. Our Pope, Pope Francis, says to love God and neighbor is not something abstract, but profoundly concrete. It means seeing in every person the face of the Lord to be served, to serve him concretely. So here with me today are some friends who take this call to service and to justice very seriously. Why don't you tell us your name and where you go to school?
I'm Eric, and I go to Olentangy.
I'm Emily, and I go to Bishop Hartley.
I'm Caitlin, and I go to Delaware Hayes.
I'm Sam, and I go to Westerville South.
Welcome to all of you, and thank you all for being here, and thank you all for always serving so generously and willingly. We're going to hear now about some of the service you do. So why don't you start off by telling us some of the volunteer projects in which you have been involved? Just, I don't know, pick your favorite, your best experience, and tell about it.
Well, pretty sure all of us here have done some form of urban gospel road, doing work in the inner city, and food kitchens and homeless shelters and the works.
Yeah, and that is something just to explain to our listeners that you all have in common. You've all done a program called Urban Gospel Road, or Blessed Week Ever, it's called now, where you spend a week in and around downtown Columbus at different service agencies and organizations helping in different ways. Okay, so I don't know, anybody want to talk about something other than Blessed Week Ever in terms of your favorite service? No, this is where you're all going. Okay, so we'll talk about that for this program. That's fine. Why did you get involved with Blessed Week Ever? What motivated you to get involved?
I take a lot of joy out of helping other people. So when my youth minister came up and was like, tell me about this thing called Blessed Week Ever, I thought it'd be like super awesome to be able to like go for like an entire week and just help all these different people. So I thought that's like why.
Okay. Anybody have a different reason for getting involved?
I feel like I've done a lot of service in different places, and I wanted to experience it with a lot of other people from our church, and my sister told me I couldn't do it, so that was more motivation.
Your sister told you wouldn't physically be able to do it.
That too.
Oh, yeah. So you wanted to prove her wrong.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Any other reasons for getting involved?
Well, like, in the city, there's a lot more people that just really have nothing, you know, like, laying on the cardboard box and the blanket, and that's it. You know, I like to be able to help those people in any, be it significant or insignificant way that you can.
And as we're recording this, I think it's -5 degrees outside, which is really when you stop to think about people who live in a cardboard box and have, yeah, so. And on the flip side, this program that you guys do takes place in the summer when it's 102 degrees outside. Either way, it's an unpleasant position to be in. Well, there are 7 tenets of Catholic social teaching, and they're very comprehensive, they're very complete, and they guide us as Catholics in service and in justice. They are sort of our compass for how we live and how we serve and how we view other people and therefore treat other people. So I just thought we could kind of go through those today and apply them to your experiences and your feelings and thoughts about service and about justice. And the first of these 7 tenets is the most basic. It's foundational. All the others build on it. And it's the dignity of the human person. And what this tenet states is that all people are a reflection of the image of God. So how you treat people, how you treat all people, is how you treat God. So I'm wondering if in your volunteering, have you seen people's dignity being disrespected? And if so, in what ways?
I think that the work we've done with the needy and the homeless has shown us how much they're looked down upon by society in general, both with looks and comments and the lack of help that they are given. One of the programs I've worked with is called Mana Cafe, where they help feed the homeless on Wednesday nights. And I think it helps rebuild that dignity, I guess. They feed them and they use real silverware, not the disposable kind. They treat them as guests rather than a burden. And I think it's easy to go into that building and see both how people are disrespected and how they can be lifted up in the same place.
That's a great example. And is that kind of the purpose of the program, to serve people with dignity and to serve people and help them feel like they're maintaining their dignity even though they're being served?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good model sort of for all social programming and all service and all to help people without embarrassing them, right? Or without belittling them. Have you been in situations where even though the goal was to help people, you also saw them being treated in an undignified way?
Well, there's a place in downtown, it's called the Choice Food Pantry, and you know, everybody gets like a certain amount of bread, a certain amount of meat. It's all like categorized, and you know, I mean, it's a very nice offer, but it's always kind of sad to see when you can only get, I think it's like 3 personal objects, and you know, some people can't get soap because they have to get dog food or something like that.
And that's a hard balance then for the agencies, because they have a limited amount of stuff that, you know, that they can give, and they
exactly.
have to, yeah, yeah. So while trying to help people be dignified, they still have, you know, limited resources to work with. Pope John Paul II talks about our obsession with efficiency, and he said that it has led us to this culture of death in which the dignity of persons is not respected. And he specifically points to examples like abortion and the death penalty and child labor and prostitution and slavery. It's all about an obsession with how efficient can we be. And in the name of efficiency, people become disposable or usable. So kind of along those lines, I'm wondering if you feel that what you've been able to do in terms of serving, in terms of participating, have you been able to dignify the people you've served? Have you ever seen a specific example of somebody who was grateful for your help without feeling belittled by your help?
On Blessed Week Ever, we went to the St. Vincent de Paul, where they have the clothes, that place. Mm-hmm. And I had a woman who, I can't remember her name, but I was like the first person I shopped with, and she had like 6 kids. And at that place, you go and like get different like amounts of clothes for each different person. And she treated me like I was her daughter, and like she had a 16-year-old daughter, and she let me like, she'd have to like put clothes on. And it's like, would you wear this? Like, and it was awesome. Like,
you were a personal shopper.
I was like, that's how she treated me. She took like 45 minutes, but I was totally fine because it was just great. And like at the end, like she gave me a hug and like was so grateful. And I think her name was like Latoya or something, but she was so awesome. And that was like, I wrote about that for a college essay. Like it's just such an impactful moment, because I was like looking at all these other people that came in, and they're just so sad. And this woman is just so joyful, and like, and you could tell that she was like giving me like a brief like intro like her life, and it was just really nice to, like, for me to be able to like act like her friend at that time.
And so, I think that's that example right there proves that we were created to serve each other. We were created to look out for each other, because not only are the people we serve able to maintain their dignity, but we feel so dignified in serving and so fulfilled and so grateful. There's no other feeling like it. I mean, that's why you guys keep coming back over and over again to do more service, right? Because it's just such an awesome feeling, which just proves that that's how we were woven, you know, that's in the fabric of who we are. But let's move on to the second tenet of Catholic social teaching, which is the call to family, community, and participation. So our church teaches that not only is the human person sacred, but we're also social in nature. And so the ways in which we organize our society and our families and the ways, the laws we make and the, you know, all of that directly affects human dignity. So I'm wondering if in your volunteer efforts, if you've seen programs, social structures, family situation that seem to isolate individuals, or on the flip side, have you seen programs, social structures, family situations that draw people in who might otherwise be isolated?
I think that the service that I've seen within my family, with my friends, has attracted more people. It's strengthened our relationships. It's been who we are for a long time. When we were really little, my sisters and I were told that we could have a big birthday party with all of our friends, but we wouldn't get gifts. We would find an organization that we wanted to donate to, and we'd ask all of our friends to bring donations for that organization. So that taught us when we were 5, 6 that even in a social gathering, in a social event or a party, it's not about us all of the time, and we can help bring our friends into our projects as well.
That's a great example, because that's looking at it from both sides, right? You as a family are maintaining your awareness that you are social, that you're part of a bigger picture. And in doing that, you're helping people who might otherwise be isolated, who might not have some sort of community or social situation. That's a great example. I'm glad you shared that. Any other examples you guys want to share? Either of people who you've seen isolated or people who are likely to be isolated who were not because of a program you were involved in.
Well, I've just recently been involved in a marching band. It's called the Columbus Saints Drum and Bugle Corps. And one of our trumpet players has an older brother with very severe mental disorders. And, he helps with the Grove City Marching Band. He does, like, all these things for them. And, I mean, it's, you know, you would think that somebody with as severe, like, mental issues as he has, that he wouldn't be able to, like, function properly, but just his presence there makes people happy. And like the fact that he's like, I don't know, pulling a speaker card or moving a marimba or something, just it's cool, because you wouldn't think somebody like that would be doing that.
So people pitch in to make him feel like he's part of the group, and they pull him in.
Yeah.
And those, whenever you see one of those stories like on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, it's so heartwarming and exciting, and it makes you cry, and it just lifts your heart and restores your faith in humanity. Yeah, we're social beings, and when we see someone isolated, it's disruptive. It's disturbing to us. Caitlin, were you going to say something?
Well, actually, I have a story like on the like opposite of that. There's a kid at my school who, I mean, he's not like severely mentally disabled, but he is like the water boy for two of our sports teams, and they like don't appreciate him like whatsoever. Like, I was at one of our basketball games, and a coach, like, he like fills up water bottles and like brings them to people, and like just because he likes being around the sports and likes helping others. And one of the coaches like took the water bottle, and like, this kid's not very coordinated, and he like throws it back at him, and like he knows he's not going to catch it, so the kid drops it, and the coach like starts laughing. And I was just like how do you not, he like takes all of his time and to come like be like help you guys and, like bring you water, like that's just like, he's just doing something out of his time. And I just, it's so sad how they don't appreciate him enough.
That's a matter of someone needs to set the right tone and the right example for including him. And that might be you, you, Caitlin, or you, Emily, or one of you guys here. You know, it might be your parents, it might be a teacher, it might be you, if you're listening. Is there a tone that needs to be set for somebody who's isolated, who needs to be included, incorporated into the community? Let's move on to the third tenet of Catholic social teaching, which is rights and responsibility. This states that very simply, everyone has basic rights. Life, food, shelter, healthcare, education, employment. These are things that everyone should have access to and everyone should be able to participate in. And everyone has a right, has a responsibility to respect these rights for everyone else. So that's not the case in our world, right? Clearly, we look around and not everybody has life, food, shelter, healthcare, education, employment. But so why is that? Why do you think there are so many people in our world living without basic human rights. Eric, are you dying to say something?
I think it's just simply because as humans, we tend to be drawn to the group that is like the in crowd. And because the people who aren't necessarily given, you know, all the rights that they should have aren't necessarily part of that crowd, it's harder for us to go towards them. So we have to be more conscious of that and to really take a moment to realize what's going on in our surroundings and to put ourselves in a place where we can recognize the lack of dignity there.
And that can just take us out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Yeah. What else? Any other thoughts, theories about why there's so many people in our world who just go without basic human rights?
I think it's like a natural instinct to fare for your own self-interests. And when somebody is, when somebody's bad at looking out for their own self-interest, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to provide them with something that they, I mean, I don't really know where I'm going with this, but if you get what I'm saying, it's hard to, you know, care about somebody else who is bad at caring about themselves when you're busy already caring about yourself.
I know what you're saying. Right. It's right. Like, we want to serve people who can't help themselves. We're called to serve everybody, you know, whether they can or cannot help themselves. But you're saying, Sam, it's kind of a natural tendency to say, I'm not going to help you. You can help yourself. I'm going to help this person over here who can't help himself or can't help herself. Yeah. We have to really fight against that. Okay, let's move on to number four. Now we're going to start blowing through these because we're getting short on time. Preferential option for the poor, because the gospel calls Christians to put the needs of the poor first. And this is counterintuitive for some people, I think. But wherever there's structural injustice, Christians are called to oppose it because people with the greatest need require the greatest response. So I'm trying to envision a world, right, where everyone puts the needs of the poor first. In that world, what are some things that would need to change? How would our lives, how would your life specifically look different if we maintained a preferential option for the poor? Nobody wants to answer that.
Well, I think it's like the way we order our lives. There's a song by Jackie Francois, and it's called Joy. Hold on, there's a serious point to this, and it's called Joy. But this stands for Jesus Others You, and like she's like says it in there, like Jesus Others You. Like I feel like that's how you get joy, and I think just like. Maybe not for, like, us immediately here, but I think for a lot of people, if they, like, change the order, how they order the lives instead of putting, like, themselves first and put others before them, I think that would be something that really has to change if we're going to, like fix this problem.
And that is exactly what the point of that is. Put others first, and then all will follow from that. Number five, we're going through the seven tenets of Catholic social teaching here on Raising Saints. I'm Katie Wyatt, and we're here today with Eric, Emily, Caitlin, and Sam, four kids who have really done a lot of service and who've really immersed themselves in helping others. And we're talking about the seven tenets of Catholic social teaching, and we're on number five, which is the dignity of work. And work is an expression of our dignity and an expression of our involvement in God's creation. So this tenet states that people have a right to decent work, fair wages, and private property, and that the economy exists to serve people and not vice versa, right? People don't exist to serve the economy and to make more money, you know, put more money in the world. So are there jobs that by their nature don't dignify the worker? There are jobs that maybe aren't as dignified, but are there jobs that just directly disrespect the dignity of individuals?
The elephant in the room would be strippers. Or yeah. Exotic yeah. Dancers.
That's what I was thinking, actually.
Good. Well, yeah, anything. Anything in the pornography industry or the sex entertainment industry or, yeah. In fact, I know you all heard the speaker, Teresa Flores, who talked about the human trafficking, which I guess isn't necessarily a job, so to speak. Those girls don't get paid for that. But prostitution, that's a job, I suppose, that doesn't dignify.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the sex, the human trafficking, I mean, it's a job for the traffickers. So
that's a good point. Yeah. And it is undignified. Yes, and undignifying. Yeah. Let's talk about number six, solidarity. As Catholics, we're called to stand up for and stand with those whose rights are being violated. That means we're required to take action. So have you ever had to stand in support of someone who is being treated unfairly or unjustly?
I can remember going to help at Special Olympics with my friends over the summer, and the girls I went with ran a softball lane and were kind of trying to lead the others since we had been there the longest. So a lot of the athletes that needed the most attention went to our lane. One of the leaders came over and told us that we were going to get a man that would come into our lane that was a convicted sexual predator, and that he targeted girls our age and we needed to be careful. So most of our girls tried to avoid him, tried to stay away from him as much as possible. And I actually got to go talk to him, and he was really sweet. At the end of their conversation, he kept saying, like, oh, I'm going to go pray for you. You're awesome. And he was just a person that touched my life in a way that wouldn't have happened if I had just avoided him like some of the other people had, I guess.
That was courageous. He was a reformed sexual offender. I mean, what was he doing? Well, I guess we don't have to get into all of those details.
It was with Special Olympics, so he had a mental handicap.
He was a participant. I see. Any other times you have had to stand in support of someone who's being treated unfairly or unjustly? Anybody? You know what? As soon as we leave, you'll think of a time.
Absolutely.
That's okay. All right, let's move on to number seven, which is care for God's creation. We're called simply to protect people and the planet, living our faith in relationship with all of God's creation. And I was thinking about you guys because you're in a weird position, right? You're the generation of abundance and waste and have everything, and everything's disposable, and if it breaks, get something new. But you're also the generation that's supposed to save the planet. So I didn't know if you guys ever feel like this is impossible, or how do we do this, or does that overwhelm you, or do you not think much about it?
No.
I'll think about that when I'm older, and then I'll regret not doing anything about it.
That's what my generation said, and my parents. That's the problem. Also, though, like eco-friendly efforts are becoming just sort of more a part of your lives than they were of older generations.
I mean, now, like, our city does, like, local recycling and stuff. Like, they have trucks that just do recycling, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's becoming like a better part of daily life, but.
But do you feel more aware of this or more responsible for this than past generations maybe did? For being green and being.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have hybrid cars, and we know that cigarettes aren't destroying the ozone layer anymore. So.
We have electronic cigarettes, like, so. That's just so
much. You do, Caitlin? Right. Is that a thing you do?
Do you have electronics?
Well, let me wrap up by asking you if you have any advice for teenagers or parents whose families want to get more involved or who want to serve more. What would you suggest as a good starting point for service?
I feel like definitely Blessed Week Ever is one of the simplest and like greatest ways to get involved with service, because it's a week of just doing a lot of service every day throughout all kinds of different ways, and it helps give you the resources so that way if you want to like do other service on your own, you can go back to those same organizations and do that. So
and those are a lot of fun. Like the diocese does a big gospel road program here in town, and a lot of churches do their own service projects throughout the summer. Yeah, so check with your church or your youth group and see what they're up to. Emily, what were you going to add something to that?
I was going to say to focus with your family and talk to them about doing service together, because a lot of it starts with that. And service is a form of prayer, and prayer isn't meant to be comfortable. So when you're going out of your comfort zone to do service, having your family there is going to benefit you and help a lot.
Good one. Also, it just sets an example, like you were talking about, right, from a very early age. Your family was setting that example for you, and that's who you are and what you do. I mean, Emily's always the first to volunteer for anything or to help out with anything. So that's because of how you were raised. So You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt. And parents, as usual, we really appreciate your input. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to know if you have questions or questions that you'd like us to address or topics that you'd like us to cover. So shoot us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. And we're going to close now in a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for sending these wonderful teenagers to us today. We thank you that their hearts are so full of love and they've been formed for service and justice. Lord, we ask that you give us all more charitable hearts. Help us all to be more willing to come out of our comfort zone to serve the people who need us. Help us to grow through those experiences, grow in our love for you. Help us to greet you and everyone we see. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for joining us, parents. Until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
Went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.